out, everybody. It's Friday night. Welcome to the Rogue Show. You guys know we do it open lines all night long. This is Free Talk MMA. We're going to talk all about combat sports in any form, fashion. Phone number 310-742-1799.
Open lines, maybe.
Yeah, as long as you're not a jackass, man. We don't want any jackasses tonight. You can Skype in above the player on Blog Talk. There's a Skype button. You must be logged in through. Yeah, and just log into your Blog Talk account if you don't have one. It takes 30 seconds. Set it up through your Facebook. It's easy, squeezy, lemon peasy. I got the man, the myth, the legend, Lapaki. That's him jumping in already. We've also got Clinch Custom Mouth Guard, CEO, and resident badass, Jeff Hoiby. That's right. He's coming in to tap you out. I think we had Beatdown. I think we had Beatdown on there for us. But it looks like he dropped out. Big props to him, man. Love that cat, dude. He's doing some great things. He was telling, dude. Yeah, God, I hope he comes on the show and can tell us the story he told us today. Told me today, man. Big shout out to Dan Severn. That's all I got to say. That guy's a beast.
Dan Severn? You're still talking about Dan Severn?
Yeah, because he's in the news again. This time, I would not want to be the guy that he's in the situation with. That's all I got to say. People stupid. Okay, so MMA, lots of it this weekend. Lots of it going down. Hey, by the way, all you fools, shoot your Madhouse minutes to STP Tattoo at MMAMadhouse.com. Also, big shout out.
I'm shooting it to Dropbox.
Well, they don't have the Dropbox account because that's only for the employees.
Oh.
You're special.
Oh, you're talking about to the civilian.
Yes. Battlefield Fight League 30 went down. First and foremost, I want to give a big shout out to our boy. Dwyer came in there, I believe. I got to look it up. I'm not sure how he won. I just saw it real quick walking in here getting ready for the show. I got to see how Matt won, but I believe it was a TKO. I could be wrong. It was a TKO. Yep, Nathan Swayze.
Matt Dwyer won with a second round. Matt Dwyer won with a second round TKO. 355, if I remember right.
Nathan Swayze got choked out.
Did Nathan Swayze win?
He got choked out in round one. I was kind of bummed to see that. No, young lady.
Young laddie. It almost sounded like if you were in England, you would have said young laddie.
Young laddie. Young laddie.
Give me another Guinness, young laddie.
Let's do it, lassie.
For my Guinness, you stinking wanker.
I know that that wasn't the only great fit. By the way, big shout out to Charmaine, not so sweet tea. Yes, you can say wanker. Big shout out to Shlomino Rama for his TKO at 141 of round one over Tim Haig.
That's right. That's my dog right there.
I also want to give a big shout out to Badahari winning his first MMA fight tonight via heel hook. I'm just joking. I see it if you were listening. you're Googling. You're like, Badahari, MMA. We're waiting at the Unified MMA.
Dude, I dated a girl that used to do that kind of bullshit. Like, right in the middle of the conversation, man, she wouldn't think I'd be listening. And all of a sudden, she'd be like, going like, so then I fell off this cliff and I busted my head open on the rocks and I died. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm just seeing if you're listening. I'm like, what the fuck kind of bullshit is this?
Dude, oh, that's funny. I do that shit all the time.
I'm failing to see the humor in it.
Well, the humor would be that if you're not listening, it's funny. Like, I used to do that to my ex-wife, and I'd be like, I knew she wouldn't be listening. I'd be like, yeah, and then I took your sister out back. She'd be like, huh? What?
You're one of those assholes.
I am, dude. I do that shit to Carly still, too.
Dude, I've had enough of this. You're calling in.
Hey, by the way, I would like to everyone to know I got a big shout out from Urine for saying his name correctly. So thank you, Urine.
Dude, it's not that hard, Skip.
I don't, but yeah, it is because I no longer live in Europe and the Western machine that is your democracy has destroyed my freedom brain cells.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so I know that you know that you don't like UFC, but I like to talk about the fighters, not necessarily the organization.
Yes, let's talk about
the fighters. Did you see Dan Henderson take Popeye's fried chicken to Daniel Cormier yesterday at the open workout?
I did, and beat down, please, brother. I know you're probably listening right now. We talked about this today. I want you to call into the show. Let's give him 20 minutes before we go down this road. You've got. I want him as part of this conversation. He has a strong opinion about this. So let's just kind of hold off on the Henderson talk and give him 20 minutes to kind of catch up to, with us.
Dude,
on the
okay.
show.
How about John Nutt? How about John Nutt rolling out Full Metal Dojo in the middle of this supposed coup?
I think, it's first of all, what other way
and
would you explain?
Finding time. He's finding time to do this hyper-hydrating the crane. He must be doing this Karate Kid crane kick in the rain. Interesting.
I'll tell you right now, I 100% believe that it would not be John Nutt in Full Metal Dojo if he didn't do it during a coup.
But it doesn't sound like there's really a coup.
This sounds like one guy just took over the country and everybody else just kept on going.
Yeah, I know. Like in like a week, and according to John, like he's like, and in a week, everything will be back to normal. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, shout out Charmaine Not-So-Sweet tweet for her win Wednesday night over Anna Barone, rear naked choke, round one. Also, folks, on MMAMadhouse.com, right-hand side, you're going to see a beautiful Team Quest photo with the Fedor double eagles and the word red. Sambo, ASA Sambo Summit to be held at Team Quest in Portland, October 16th through the 19th. You guys stay tuned to MMA Madhouse because we are working closely with them on this deal. So also, look for the Underground Battle 5 logo coming up this week onto the website. That is going to be for all you fans who want to see our beautiful logo dead to the blue corner. I believe we're on the blue corner of the ring apron. So I'm super, super pumped about that and being working with them as well down there. So that's just some things going on, I guess, as Mr. Boyd puts it, the community bulletin this week. What else?
Oh.
Don't we have something else? There's something else. Sokuju signed with Bellator.
Okay, dude, now you brought it up, dude. How do you have, and no offense to either of these guys, James Thompson, Eric Prindle as the main event of a Bellator card? How do you do that?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
I mean, no offense to anybody involved that's fighting, but come on, bro.
Hey, Beatdown, if that's you and you're listening to the show, press 1 so I know. I'll pull you in because we definitely want to talk with you. I know that's the Louisiana number, but maybe he can't talk tonight. I don't know.
Man, what do you know, dude? Those coon asses down there have a hard time with the telephone. They still want the rotary dial.
Dude, this dude's balling, dude. Like, I don't want to say he's a drug dealer, but who else drives around in rented cars every single day of his life? Let's ask him. What's up, V-Down?
What's happening, man?
Oh, not much. Hey, go ahead.
I was a drug dealer. Went to rental.
Ain't that the truth? We were hoping.
What is the rental this week? What is the rental this week?
Wait, what?
What is the rental this week?
Oh, Cadillac.
Eldorado? Or
oh, shit. Dude, that's funny. Okay. Now, we were just talking about you before you got on the show. Lopaki wanted to talk a little bit about Dan Henderson and Cormier and the fried chicken incident. And let's talk about this as a whole. I'd like, because he asked what our opinion.
I was going to tell you, I think it's fucking awesome. I think it was the funniest shit I've seen in a long fucking time. And I'm glad that fucking Dan Henderson is still part of the fight game to pull that off.
What do you think, Dan? What do you think about this whole situation?
About the chicken deal?
Yeah.
Man, I love Popeye's fried chicken, and I'm white.
What do you think that there is a little bit of his head getting away from his part of the game and focusing too much on the hype?
I don't know, man. If you look, Dan Henderson's running around, taking pictures, clowning around, you know, taking, you know, I don't know, man. I hope he's not overconfident. I hope you don't underestimate Daniel Cormier. And it looks like, man, I mean, that might be why the odds are against him, you know?
Dude, the odds are, he's an 8-1 underdog right now in Vegas, and which I think is just insane.
Well, I think also it's taken into consideration he's, like, weighed in at, what, 199? Was that what he weighed
195.
In? 195. I mean, God,
yeah,
dude, that's tiny.
That's a valid point.
Okay,
do you think Henderson has let any of Cormier's talk get to him about he was a better this and a better that?
I'm hoping not, but, man, it seems like, because every time you see him, I mean, you've seen the pictures, I mean, he's taking walking around Vegas and, you know, cutting weight, getting ready, perking him, you know, but I don't know, man. I hope he's not underestimated, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I'm concerned that he's taking this too lightly. I really am. He does not seem to be in the same fight mode that he has been. And this is, I mean, let's be honest. If he loses to Cormier, he's out of the title hunt. He won't be back in it. I mean, I don't know who he could beat quickly and successfully, make a short run over, you know, the last two or three fights of his contract to warrant them to re-sign him for a title shot. So if he loses, he's done, man. I mean, that's it. He's, you know, Bellator material.
Right.
You know, I mean, it sounds shitty, but, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he's, you know, the guys right now at 205, the majority of them, their days are numbered, man. Let's be honest. There's not a huge crop of just super talented young guys that are going to dominate the division, but there are a few that will. And the old-timers, they're fading away, man. Guys like Rampage, guys like Henderson, you know, guys from that era, their days are numbered. We see it happen. We saw the era before them retire, you know, and now we're seeing their era of fighters retire. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Crazy Horse is not a great example, but how much longer can he fight? How much longer can Munson fight? How much longer can these guys show up?
Oh, dude,
and take,
Munson,
you know,
Munson's fighting on borrowed time, I believe.
Yeah, but if Munson can do what Sapp did and put away money and just walk away from the game wealthy and successful, then he is, you know, he's done it.
That's
right.
That's what he's been doing, though. But Munson's been doing that.
Yeah. Well, let's see this. Hold on 1 second. Hey, 517, who do we got?
517, motherfucker.
Oh, Muggs! What's
there
up, killer?
Go, man. There's...
hey, me now. So how do you think
crazy,
the rest of plays
week,
out in Cormier?
Go ahead and finish your conversation. I'll sit here and chill.
Be down. How does the wrestling play out?
Hey, what? I'm not hearing you.
How does the wrestling play out?
The wrestling?
Yeah.
With Daniel Cormier?
And Henderson, yeah.
I think he's going to stand up with him, man. I mean, I hope you don't try to keep him pinned against the ring, and I hope he stays at distance. But, I mean, we all know, man, if Dan Henderson lands his hands on that dude, that's going to be it might happen that way. You know, that's how I feel anyway, you know.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time picking that fight. I mean, obviously everything says you should probably pick Cormier, younger guy, you know, bigger, probably quicker. But then, you know, you got Henderson, and if the right hand lands, I mean, it's hard to pick against him because, you know, I don't know, man. Daniel Cormier is coming off a win over Patrick Cummings, man. I mean, what the hell am I supposed to learn about him from that? It's like fighting your...
And look, let's be honest. I don't know about the rest of you guys on the show, but I don't see Cormier being able to just dry hump him and hold him against the cage and do absolutely nothing like he did versus Barnett. You know, I don't see Dan Henderson getting bullied around the cage when Dan can go to the ground whenever he wants and out-wrestle the shit out of anybody.
Yeah, but I don't know if he can out-wrestle Cormier. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I believe he can all day
Cormier
long.
Cormier is an Olympic wrestler, too. He's younger.
Cormier was the number two in life. Let's be honest. He's never been a number one, and he never will be.
But
this
Dan,
is going to...
Dan Henderson didn't win a gold medal. Oh,
that's harsh.
Muggs, but let's be honest. He admitted it himself. He said everything he's done in life, he's always been the runner-up. Okay? That's a mentality of somebody who will never be a great champion. You would never hear Henderson go, you know, I was subpar, man, okay? You know, I've been subpar my whole life. Henderson comes in and says, all American, fuck yeah, and kicks your ass. I mean, let's be honest. Dude, Hendo's got a knockout name after him because
I met fucking Henderson like probably about 3 weeks ago in Kansas City, or not Kansas, sorry, but in Iowa, and fucking he told me his name was Aaron, and I was like, yeah, I don't think so, because fucking Guida was there too, and Guida and I talked, and I kept looking back at this dude, and I wanted to say, hey man, is that fucking Henderson? Anyways, back to the story.
So we broke down pretty much the Henderson card, Cormier. Let's start with Muggs. Pick a winner.
For what?
Cormier Henderson.
Oh, Henderson. Cormier's a second-hand stepchild. It's his fault.
He is. Okay, beatdown. Who do you got, Cormier or Henderson?
Cormier.
Okay. Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, who do you got? Okay. You're going to mute yourself? Okay. Henderson. Who do you got?
Who?
Who do you got in the fight?
Me? Me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God, don't twist his arm.
Yeah, I know. I'm going Henderson. I know Fox is on the fence. So here, let's jump to an easier pick. Who do you got?
Dude, I'm going to take Cormier to win a decision. I'm going to take Cormier to win a split decision.
Thank you, Bruff. Okay, I'm not
letting
him go. What? He said thank you for not letting him go out. He said thank you for helping him pick a loser, too.
I'll be rooting for Dan Henderson. You can bet that. Even though Daniel Cormier and I both are from the same town, I just can't back him like I back Dustin Poirier. But I'll be rooting for Hendo tomorrow night. But I'm gonna pick Cormier.
Two things, folks. One, Baker has got Hendo, and Jeff Lopaki. If I've got to go get my wide angle lens to show you how much I've got, we could play this picture war all you want. You with your little fucking baby ass shit.
You don't even want that, Jackie.
Sorry.
Let's go. Kiss my ass.
You,
no, you never come back, buddy.
Hey, Muggs just said
to tell Jeff, I miss you, man.
That was so cute. That was so cute the way you two passed out all snuggled up.
Oh, snuggled up to you. Taking turns on you.
Speaking of taking turns.
Did you hear? Did you see what happened this week, bro? 5 million views, bro. The most talked about MMA fighter in the world this week was one of my videos.
Nathan Long.
No, man. Mike Pantinko.
The nine-finger nightmare returns.
Hey, dude. Hey, Mug. Did that guy do something crazy again? Did I see another picture of him all fucked up in a hospital?
No, dude. I got this funny-ass picture of him at this guy Jerry's house, and Jerry's cool, man. Jerry's like this crippled guy, you know, he can't use his legs, and, like, he comes to all the fights, and, like, he's an honorary security guard and shit like that, right, you know? And fucking Nathan goes to his house with his belt, and, like, for some reason, dude, you're going to love this picture, because for some reason, Jerry's on the floor with no pants on. I think there's a jar of peanut butter, some baby wipes, and there's a fucking blanket by the fridge. Like, I got to pass you this picture, man. It's freaking, and Nathan Long sitting there next to him with a big thumbs up.
Where?
That's so wrong. Hey, hold on a second. Dude, Muggs, I just tagged you in a post. Put the picture there for everyone listening to the show to see.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I can do that, man.
Muggs.
I just posted an interview with the kid with the tap out. Did anybody see the news about that, the Mercy tap out?
I think that's even worse, man.
That's even worse, dude. I think he disrespected his opponent even more than by beating him. By pulling
what?
That shit. Let me just tell you, man. I think you're a real fucking scumbag from at least like disrespecting this guy so much by not letting him take his beating. Just dude, he signed up for it.
It's an amateur fight. He's already beating the brakes off the kid. So what's he supposed to cripple him and put him in a coma?
Dude, he hit him like six times. There's no beating the brakes off him.
Do you know the story behind that? That they're from the same gym, and to make sure he had a fight, he took that fight like the last minute, man, just to go up in there, you know, to take the fight for him.
Hey,
or he would be able to fight on that call.
Hey, if you want that story, bro, they go to my gym.
Okay.
So, I got to ask, because the talkie, he's like, this
you
guy's a pussy.
A
You're
beast,
not
man.
Shooting steroids
not,
and
man.
Beating each other.
Teammate or not, bro.
These are
not,
my
people.
And Jeremy,
beating,
Jeremy, don't go to... Jeremy don't go to no gym. Jeremy barely goes to any gym. He kind of scoots around and trains with a few people here and there once in a while, but he's pretty much a working guy. And I don't know. I've sparred with Pantinko more than Jeremy has, but now he is. Now he goes in there and spars with him and shit. He fucking likes that style, man. He's starting to learn that Muay Thai. But, no, man, it was straight up just a legit freaking fill-in. And Jeremy was 7-5 going into that, bro. You know, he's got a little history behind him in the AMI world. And he was like, right on, I'll take it. And I was laughing with him, bro. I was like, it's like getting beat up by a ninja. You know, even sparring with him in the gym, the kid's like shadows, dude. You're staring right at him, and all of a sudden you're getting hit in the back of the head, and you're just like, where'd it come from? You know? But, in the video, straight up, looks like Mike hit him 1,000 fucking times. But I've been hit by Mike 1,000 times, and it's just like, you know, come on, kid. You know, so anyways, Jeremy was thinking that, man. That's where this all goes to. Jeremy was actually thinking, like, what the fuck? What are you tapping for? You barely punched me. I'm about to take you to the ground, kid, you know? And so that's pretty much how it went down, man. And so he did kind of find it. At first, he was a little put off by it, but he understood where Mike was coming from. Mike was completely, wholeheartedly, honestly thought he had beat Jeremy into oblivion, man. But, you know, and he didn't know no different, so.
The
same
man.
Story.
You sign up to fight, man, then fight him. Don't quit in the middle. That's kind of weak.
That's the truth. Now, see, that's how I agree with you.
But LaPaki, you're the first person to say, You're the first person to say, it's a fucking amateur fight. It doesn't matter. So why does it matter now?
No, you're right. The outcome doesn't matter. The outcome doesn't matter.
Oh, and, he's probably got you recorded saying it, too.
Yeah. No, man. As two fucking competitors, you owe it to the guy you're standing across to, man. So once you fucking step in there and you've gone that fucking far, finish the fucking deal, man.
The common consensus is he should have at least took him to the ground.
I think he thought he might have lost the fight on his, you know, on his own. So he found a different way out.
And, well, I just posted the interview with Jeremy on his point of view about the whole thing and how he felt about it. So you guys can check that out. I'm looking up this tag you just tagged me in, right, Skippy?
Which one?
Yeah.
Is
that picture, bro?
I'm going to that picture.
Okay, hey, let's get back to this real quick. I want to go over this fight. Who here thinks Ellenberger is going to beat Lawler?
Oh, come on.
Chirp.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody, we all agree. So what about Dillashaw take the title?
Hell no, Jack.
Does Dillashaw make it out of the first round? That's the better question.
Yeah, Dillashaw makes it to the third round.
The third? Okay. Does anybody see it going to a decision? What the fuck? Am I asking like the questions everybody already knows the answer to or what? Okay, here, let's jump down. Does Chris Gregory go to jail for pirating the James Krause fight via the internet and broadcasting it over the big screen at BFC? Everybody almost
scared to post this picture, bro.
Did you post
it? I love Jerry. I feel like I'm throwing Jerry under the bus right now, man.
Jeff.
Don't worry about Utterbutter, man. Utterbutter will be all right.
Jeff. Yeah, he called me tonight about that. I was like, don't do that shit. I heard you had Dillashaw picked.
You heard wrong.
Oh. Well, no more pillow talk then with your old lady, because she's lying to me. Okay, so
save you a lot of time.
So far, the main event for UFC, what is this? 173. UFC 173. So far, the main card sounds like it's not worth buying because only one fight's interesting. Does Michael B.
What
Francisco?
Jeff, are you looking?
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
This looks like some kind of a white version of the hotel scene from Borat.
What are you doing to this handicapped dude?
He was nice enough to set his phone down.
Why would he take his clothes off?
He's doing
in the kitchen.
This is messed up.
I got my blanket and my baby wipes
over there. Floor.
Wow.
Oh my God, man. I can't believe I posted that. I promise to keep that secret forever.
Oh God, that's fucking.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, is your latest Nathan Long sighting.
Hey, and if you guys don't know who Nathan Long is, you could kind of compare him to Glenn Avila.
No, way worse.
MMA beatdown, we lost you, brother, but we'd love to call back. Yeah, that is confusing.
Sorry, man. Oh, my God.
That's
fucking, I haven't looked at that in like a month or two. fucking, I just about died when I saw it the first time.
Hey, did it, hey, who all watched Lion Fights tonight? I watched Lion Fights. Did anybody watch Tiffany kick ass?
What fight series was that? I didn't watch it.
Lion Fights.
They
were on
the traffic.
No, I was busy winning the internet.
Winning the internet.
I win.
Hey, Lion Fights went down. Tiffany looked amazing. She just picked apart Lucy Payne like it was nothing. But you guys got to watch the main event. Homeboy cut open in like 45 seconds. Did just get a nasty, nasty cut. It's so great. Oh, by the way, the highlights are up on MMAMadhouse.com now. You can check out Kevin Ross's fight where he just obliterated that dude.
Right on.
So Kovacs finally got an opponent, eh?
You good?
What?
Hey. Is it Nick Campbell?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I just took a look at that picture.
Isn't that some metro shit?
I want to know what's up with that.
I don't want to know what's up with that. You got a handicapped guy half naked holding your championship belt with baby wipes. Weird.
Yeah, I'm about to hold my belt. It's your turn now. You know what's next. I let you hold my belt.
Well, it's worse than that. He's like, just let me take some photos for you. I promise, I won't share them.
Nobody. Y'all don't know my phone because they're taking pictures. Weird.
Why is this lady? Oh my God! There's a. Why is this lady? Oh wow! I'm looking at a video of a woman who's probably 500 pounds with a 7-year-old in one of those backpack harnesses at Walmart on her chest. Oh, that's crazy. Okay, hey, Jeff, I want to ask Jeff, how does the Michael fight go versus Francisco?
I say Mike, Rear Naked Joe, round two.
That's definitely by
far.
How
much do you think it helps Cecilia having K.A.'s to fight tonight?
Say that again?
How much does it help Sam having Michael fight tomorrow night?
I don't know. I don't know that it helps. I mean, they've done it before. They both fought at Cage Sport. They both fought on the finale, I guess. They both fought on the same card with Rick a lot of times. But I don't know that it does anything for him. I mean, he's there with him anyways every time. It might make it strange for the whole. It might make it weird. Because you're doing Mike fights, Sam's corner. Sam fights Mike's corner. They're both fighting. I mean, it's one of those weird things where one guy's going out wrapped up, and I don't know. I don't know that does me good. I think it might do bad.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Same situation. Okay, imagine this situation in downtown Seattle or one of the one of the little shadier parts of town. Four guys pull a gun on Dennis Hallman and tell him to get out of his car and strip down naked. We're stealing everything. What happens? Does he get punked like Shogun, or does Hallman go crazy and whoop
everyone's
ass?
Hell yeah, you fucking strip down, bro. I don't give a... You fucking strip down, motherfucker. Anybody
that
wants to talk shit about Shogun, fuck you.
You know, he was actually at the IHOP with Benji Raddick when the guy came in and tried to rob the IHOP, and they fucking laid him out. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Shogun's a pussy.
Had everybody held up, and then I believe it was Benji just... Cold cocks him, lays him out one fucking punch. Dennis jumps on him, they take the gun away, and that's that. So, I don't know what to do. Might not make a good choice. Yeah, the history of not making the smartest choice with that, by doing that. I mean, that wasn't a good idea. Somebody could have got shot in there.
Two on one, much different than 1-on-4. With
again, though.
And
dude, you got a car! You got a fucking car!
This clown running into Denny's?
with a fucking revolver is not shit with four guys with fucking assault rifles, dude.
Lepaki, I don't know who you're talking about because I ran a person down with my car, pulled into my driveway, and took on four football players with a hammer. Okay? I'm not scared. You got a car. It's called a 3,000-pound battle axe. You run them fuckers over. Then you get out and you fucking shogun who of them. A little dance, a little shimmy, a little boom. But, dude, you don't get out of your car. You drive over them fuckers.
Give me your fucking clothes and let them go. It's clothes. It's a car. Who gives a shit? It's not worth being dead.
Dude, I'm not going to be dead. When four guys,
dude, you can find them guys later when you go get your car back and you've got Vanderlei and everybody else with you and it's 4-on-4.
No, that's when you go back. You, Vanderlei and everybody else gets murdered in some barrio and turned into like hoghead soup. But you're in a car, four guys approach you, you're in the ghetto, you hit the gas, and you run over everybody, women, children, priests, I don't care, and you get away.
Well, if that's an option. Yeah, I would run him over.
Yeah, but are you gonna run over a rabbi? Would you run over a rabbi?
Ow, back up.
Bill Smallwood is gonna hate you. Bill Smallwood is gonna hate you.
You get more points for that.
Bill would understand. Not only that, why is Shogun not driving around Brazil without a bodyguard and like he's wealthy enough to afford and hire four or five drug dealers?
Because dude, I mean if you need a bodyguard, I mean come on, bro. Who's really going to try and do anything with these guys?
Dude, it's down there, bro. It's Brazil.
I think it was just a random carjacking, dude. I don't really think it was a targeted thing. I just think it was a random gang. I mean, dude, we're talking about the Favela of Brazil, bro. As nasty as Hilltop Tacoma might be to some of these white folk around here, it's nothing compared to what's going on in Brazil, dude.
That's very true. I can give you that 100% honestly.
You know, some clown, some little hillbilly running into Denny's trying to rob it for $40. Come on.
It's still dangerous. Still way dangerous. Someone's got a gun.
It is dangerous. It is dangerous, and I mean, it's good that those guys stepped up. Benji Raddick and Dennis Hallman against some hillbilly with a pistol is really, I like their chances, dude, because the likelihood of this kid pulling the trigger is slim.
What makes you think, what's this hillbilly thing? What's these hillbillies in Seattle? The Seattle hillbillies?
Yes.
No fucking hillbillies around here. Where I live, there is. Like three houses away. Probably be shooting any minute.
Oh, hey. By the way, Jeff Lepaki, we're going to get an interview. Trey's going down to see Bubba tomorrow to interview him for the website. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said
it's so hard to wake up speaking Mexican, Spanish.
Hey, I'm not saying Bubba said he's going to break Zoe down like a Lego set, but.
Yeah.
Just joking.
So are you willing to make your pick already? Are you picking yet? Are you going to pick the fight
yet? I've already picked the fight on Tapology. I got no problem. I know who I picked.
I know.
But you pick anybody else from Oregon, you'll pick them if they're up against the king of the world, but you won't pick Alfonso because he's up against Bubba?
First of all, I didn't say who I picked. Second of all, it doesn't matter who I picked because I picked who I feel will win the fight. And if we're going to get down to the brass nuts of shit, I think this is a great fight. You know as well as I do, they both have areas of the game that they're better at than the other opponent, and they have to implement their game plan in to win. And I honestly believe that Bubba going up to this camp with Tim Kennedy is going to help Bubba a lot. I really do. Leaving his own gym to go take this camp, I think, is going to be something good for him as a person and as a fighter. You know, honestly, I think it's great because, you know, he's done a lot of his training for his whole career at BV MMA, and he's stepping away this time because he's taking this very seriously. He obviously has some concerns and reservations about Zoe and certain things like Zoe's power, and I believe he's trying to address that. I think all the way around, this is going to be a great fight. I really do. And it has nothing to do with one friend or the other. Me and Lepaki talked, me and you, Jeff, we've talked, you know, this is a very interesting matchup. Depending who can put their game into play, this fight could be fight of the night easily.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that, you know, we talked about it, I believe, maybe it was me and Lepaki, or maybe it was Jeff, about Zoe also switching up his camp and going to work with somebody else right now. Okay, was it you, Jeff?
I think that is
something that is really good. Both these guys are taking this fight extremely serious to the point that they are going to go to a different location to fine-tune and to work and to be the best they can. I like this. I think this fight has a lot on the line for both fighters. I think Bubba wins this fight, he could make that next step to Zuffa. I think Alfonso wins this fight, and he can defend that title once or twice. I think that gets the door open for him as well. So, Legacy is a great location for these guys to make a name. I'm concerned that, you know, a lot of people are going to look at Bubba's record and see his losses and not understand the nature of those losses and assume he's a lesser fighter than he is. And I know Eddie's not that stupid, and I know Zoe's not that stupid, but fans I'm talking about, you know. So I think if you look at this, this is truly a fight that could be two 8-0 kind of guys facing each other, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, hell yeah, Madhouse was there.
I looked into it, I feel a little bit better about it. At first, I didn't like it at all. But I just don't like it when organizations sign somebody and they can take them sign the champ right out of the gate. I don't like that. I think that sets it bad. It just makes it weird. Like they think they're a can or they're spilling something easy out for the champ. I don't like that approach, but...
I agree. I wanted to see a warm-up fight in that organization, but that wasn't what was offered. It was a title shot. And, you know, obviously, what was it, whatever his original opponent was, got pulled up to the UFC card. So, you know, that's good for that fighter. But, you know, at the same time, you know, that leaves Zoe jumping in on a short notice title fight. So, I mean,
I also think, though, kind of like while I would normally agree with what Jeff's saying about how it's jumping straight into a title fight, I wonder if, depending, you know, if they had Alfonso do a warm-up fight, is that going to be a better fight and option than the title fight with Knopf at Cage Sport, you know? So maybe they looked at it as, like, if they wanted him to come down there and fight and, you know, step away from that title shot with Brett Knopf, that they needed to offer him a title shot with Bubba. Jumping to the UFC. I think it was just kind of like a perfect storm. But I would agree with you. I'd like to see you fight somebody.
This is also one time that you could come in and say, okay, this guy, you know, taking out Kent, who had the war with Loazzo, you know, there's some validity there. Obviously, the fight with Torgensen, they saw that, you know, he can go the distance, you know. They've seen his knockout power. He comes in with, not a give-me record. He isn't a can fighter. Like, what's that other dude that you guys have on the show this week from Explode? You know, the rumors about him being a can fighter. What was his opponent's combined record? 0-36? Or so, no, 2-36, you know.
He's 9-0. The best guy has like got 2 wins or something. So it's like 11 losses.
Yeah, but dude, that's no different than look at Henry Cejudo's record. His opponent's combined record. I mean, I kind of really think like this whole thing with this Explode. And I haven't even talked to the guy, but I read the article. And I know what they're talking about, but this goes on everywhere. It's just more often perpetrated by managers and fighters bouncing around from organization to organization than it is, you know, where, you know, the promoter's in collusion. But even a lot of times there, the promoters are in collusion with these guys.
Oh, I agree, and I'll tell you right now, I mean, we know, you know, there's crooked promotions everywhere. Fuck, there's guys in the UFC right now who have paid victories to get there, okay? I mean, that's just the nature of the beast, where money, pride, ego, fame is all on the line. People do crazy shit.
Who's that?
Yeah.
He didn't smoke enough. Damn it.
Oh! Oh, we got a flying knee.
So my boy the mongoose lost last night, huh, Jeff? Have you got to see tape?
No, I haven't. Yeah, he got triangled in the second round. I can't believe he got triangled by Julian. That I would have not picked that. That's for sure. Julian won. It would be with the hands, and Ryan would. But that Ryan would probably win with a choke, and not even close.
I thought Ryan would get an armbar.
He don't seem fazed. He's just like, next stop, PXC in a month or 5 weeks. So he don't seem, he seems fine. It's not the first time he lost. He knows how to lose and come back hard. So he didn't expect to be undefeated forever. He's got a good attitude.
Hey,
great, buddy.
Brandon Dewsbury defeats Chase Maxwell, flying KO knee, 4:34 of round 5. Damn, I got to see that fight tomorrow morning as soon as it's available on GoFight Live. You know that's a great way to end a title fight with less than 30 seconds left and a flying knee KO.
Dude, what did that say about the
let's
UFC?
Say, let's talk about finishing a fight like that. How about CJ Marsh last night, Jeff?
Yeah! He was getting his ass kicked for the whole
Hippie,
fight.
Did you hear about that?
I did. I haven't seen any footage. I haven't seen any footage, but I did hear about it that he was getting.
He was losing, getting beat up, and then, but he don't quit. And 1 minute left, boom. Harkness got a little cocky, were the exact words I was told, and bam, just blasted him. Good night. Game over. GG wins. What's beautiful about this is just before they walked out, I was talking to Limo, and I said, here it is, my upset special. CJ Mark's going to knock out Harkness. He's like, ha, you're drunk. I'm like, well, you'll see. And then when it happened, I'm just like, yes! Yes, glory to me. Ha-ha, fucker.
Was it worse than the Andrew Ram knockout, or was it a TKO?
I think it was a similar one, but I haven't seen anything, or I didn't ask for that kind of detail. I talked to TJ and Will, and I just didn't say how was it. He just said, checked him out. So I thought, did you see CJ's thing that he wrote? I posted that thing congratulating him. He wrote, fuck UFC Jam. I'm like, whoa, okay.
No, I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, he's not with the UFC Jam anymore. That's definitely happened, clear.
But okay.
He's a grinder, man. He's getting paid. He's fighting like every 2 weeks, taking these short notice fights and making money. You know, doing what he likes.
What's that? Is that 4 main events in like 8 weeks?
Yeah. He'll just step up and do it. Which is crazy because this is the guy that took some time off because of confidence issues, and then he comes back and he's just like fighting because for a different reason, maybe. I don't know, but I like it. I think he's more dangerous this way than being afraid to lose the whole time.
Hey, let me jump in real quick. Hey, Beatdown, did you go to Cage Wars 8?
No, I didn't go to Cage Wars 8, no.
Okay. I was just curious if you went. Hey, can you tell me, rumor has it, you're going to be sitting next to Dan Severn at an event coming up.
No, that ain't happening.
Oh, no? That rumor's not true?
No.
Oh.
That rumor's not
true. Oh. Damn rumors.
Why damn not? Rumors. What?
Why isn't that true?
Dan Severn said that he canceled his plans to come here, so that's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, damn, I tried.
Yeah, you did.
Skippy is scandalous like that. He's like working with TMZ, yeah.
So I heard.
Hey, you know, it doesn't ever hurt to try to, you know, just throw it out there in the middle of a conversation and see if you slip up, you know. Because if you open the gate, then it's open. You can't close it, you know.
Hey, the only thing I'm saying is Dan Severn's talk. I'll tell you, just listen.
Dude, what did you tell me earlier? You're like, I'm scared of him over the phone.
Yeah, I didn't, man, he's talking. You don't want to interrupt. Because he flies around the world. He can fly and beat. He'll go where you are, I believe. That's a nightmare, man.
Yeah. Dude, could you imagine talking shit and like 2 days later your door gets knocked on, you open it up and it's Dan Severn, he's like, you got something to say?
Man.
Yeah, call 911. Boom.
I'd be like, here's a beer, dude, let's talk.
Yeah. Something happened like that on my page yesterday.
Hey, we got you on the, you know, on the show tonight. How's what's the next step for your boy in the boxing world?
Oh man, June 14th, he's gonna fight on another show. He won the tournament for the Junior Olympics, but he doesn't have enough of fights, and he's still 13 years old, man. So
he won the Olympics at 13?
Yeah, he won the tournament anyway.
How tall is he again?
22 years old.
Say again?
What's his class? Did he go all the way to 22 years old? That's Junior Olympics, right? It's 22 and under? Or under 23?
Yeah, but see, like, the ranking he's at, I mean, he's only 13, man. He's only had six fights, but he's had six really good fights, you know? But you have to have at least a minimum of 10 fights.
That's a bummer. I made Junior Olympics once, and I couldn't do it because I was too old. Because my birthday to turn 23 was a month before the date for the...
Come on.
Yeah, but you got to understand, Beatdown, this is when they first established the rules in the time of Leonidas.
Yeah.
So.
Far-looking asshole.
Yeah, Jeff's so old when he farts, dust comes out.
Hey, Jeff, I think, man, you ought to be getting something in the mail from me coming soon, man.
Cool. I haven't seen anything yet. I'll tell you as soon as it does.
All right. Hey, man, yesterday I posted that, you know, that James Thompson's going to be fighting Eric Prindle, right, for Bellator?
Yeah.
Somebody
ridiculous.
Put on there, how?
That's fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah, somebody came on, Chris Swanson came on and said, yeah, Thompson still fights. Thompson's been a terrible fighter since, I don't know, he started fighting. So, James Thompson pretty much came on, man, and just chewed him a new ass for him.
Really?
Yeah, he called him. He said, I hate to say this on the air, man. He says, you're a fucking gutless prick. I hate myself for spending the time on your nonsense, but every once in a while I like to set empty-headed fools like yourself straight. Man, he's wrote a lot of shit. But anyway, he took a picture of the guy that Chris Swanson's picture, just posted it on there, and he says, let me see what he says, man. I hold my hands up. I was incorrect about calling you a fat, but I was right about everything else. Anyway, it's kind of funny, you know?
Does anybody else feel like that this is once again Bellator trying way too hard and hurting their product?
Yeah. I mean, no offense to these guys, but you can't have Eric Prindle, I think he's on a 3-fight losing streak right now, main eventing a fight card.
The most memorable
thing about James Thompson's career, and no offense, is when Kimbo exploded his ear.
Yeah.
You know, but look, we haven't got to talk.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but yep. We haven't got to talk since the pay-per-view, and that was a horrible flop of a failure for Bellator.
I don't agree with that. I thought it was a decent night of fights.
Dude, you charge $44.95, and I get an hour and 30 minutes out of 5 hours of airtime of fights. I went on one stretch that was 47 minutes in between fights. That's a fucking horrible letdown for a pay-per-view. Not only that, all these whiny-ass bitches talking about Chandler won the fight. He got his ass kicked in all day long and two times on Tuesday. Dude, wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. And that's a major 10-1 underdog who supposedly had no right to even be in the fight, coming in there and beating up the supposed best in the world. It was a horrible card. The King Mo fight, Rampage fight, was crap.
I don't agree with that either. I thought that was a pretty damn good fight. I thought that was... and I also think that I scored the fight for Chandler. I don't know how anybody in their right mind scored the fifth round for Will Brooks. You're like a complete and utter buffoon. You should never judge a fight again. And you should excuse yourself from being a judge.
Dude, I'm just saying, for a pay-per-view event, even the King Mo fight was not worth a fucking pay-per-view event. That fight could have been on any Wednesday
night. Yeah, but dude,
night.
You knew that going in, man. Like, this is the thing, is that, you know, we all knew going in that this wasn't a pay-per-view worthy card. But you can't, like, the production was horrible. I agree with you. You do 45 minutes between fights, but that's on the production. I'm just talking about the fights, man. I thought the fights were good. I gave the fight card a B, I think, if I remember right. Overall, I mean, I found it to be pretty entertaining. I thought the Will Brooks-Michael Chandler fight was actually really pretty good. I thought King Mo and Rampage was decent. You know, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't agree with the decision. But, I mean, hey, whatever.
I see what you're saying about
the production value though. It was horrible and it was garbage, and it wasn't worth $39.99. It was barely worth $9.99. And I think that, you know, somebody like Bellator could have really set a new standard if they'd have rolled out with like a $14.99 or $19.99 pay per view. You know how many more people would have just been like $20, whatever. I'll buy this just for the shits and giggles.
I agree 100% with that, but I'm going to tell you right now, the prelims on Spike and the prelims that they showed later that were dark, that were blacked out, those, like the Austin Lyon, Zach Underwood fight, the Ben Brewer and Andy Urich fight, the Cortez and Brian Hall fight, these fights, a lot of them were first and second round finishes, exciting body shots, nasty elbows, KOs. And then you get to the, you know, the main card, and, you know, Ortiz's fight was a straight-up TNA wrestling match. I don't care what anybody says. That was a horrible throw of a fight. The Volkov, Alexander Volkov fight over whatever his name was, Ivana or whatever, I wasn't super impressed with that
Ivana.
Fight at all. I thought the Page fight and Ricky Rainey. A letdown, a huge, huge letdown.
Okay, let's talk about that fight. Who wants to talk about that fight? I found everything Michael Page did in that fight to be the most disrespectful thing, and people were applauding him for completely being a classless person in that cage the other night.
Yeah, he was.
Amen. Amen. And I got to say the same thing about RFA. I felt the same way when, you know, the owner came in and was slapping the guy on his ass. I'm like, great job, you knocked him out. Yeah, you know, there's a certain class of respect that the fighter promoters, they need to carry in that when they're on TV, when they're in the ring, when they're representing the sport. And I agree. I think Michael Page was the biggest douchebag of the night next to Tito. Fucking douchebag.
He actually didn't really have much of an issue with Tito that night. That was just standard Tito.
Yeah, you're on, Chris, but Tito in the post-fight sounded like he took out John Jones in a minute and 38 seconds. You know,
right,
acting,
no doubt.
You know, acting like he beat, like, Shlemenko once fought 75 guys in a one-night tournament and beat them all, and I took him out in a minute and 30 seconds. That ain't reality,
yeah,
Tito.
But
you beat a guy
who's first win. It's his first win in 6 years, buddy. I mean, you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. I mean, of course he's going to get a little excited. He hasn't tasted victory in years.
Dude, fucking Tito comes in the ring at like 275, his fat ass.
Dude,
and Alexander Shlemenko was at like 130. I mean, it was just such a mismatch. It was ridiculous. Tito looked like he ate, you know, Krispy Kreme for a week.
Here's what I don't understand is how is it like so easy for Slamenko to stop the takedown, and then all of a sudden it was such an easy takedown that he got. It was weird, you know? Like, he was stopping the takedown.
It was a scramble where they kind of got tripped up, and Tito's going to win that one, right? He's a lot stronger.
They were caught in
spiral roll or whatever the fuck Tito calls that thing, where he tries to back arm wrap around you, and then he'll try to spin over and take your back with it and set his underside hook, but he ended up, like, locking Flamenco's arm up and then just switched his grip and went to the arm triangle.
And we got to see Victor Ray one more time.
There's nothing you're going to do there. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I thought Shlemenko was going to win, obviously, you know, and obviously I was kind of happy when Tito Ortiz won for some reason. And I don't know if it's because I just watched him since I was young, you know. I don't know what it was, but it was nice to see the guy get a win. I mean, as much as I'm a hater of him sometimes, too, it was nice to see the guy get a win.
Okay.
That card, I don't even know what the pay-per-view were on that card. I don't think it did very good at all. I don't know if there's any numbers back or if they would even want the numbers to come out. But, I mean, I'd like to know what they did on the pay-per-view for sure.
Oh, I think it was a letdown.
It seemed like a lot of people were watching it, but, I mean, they were probably watching it, streaming it for free. But I wonder how many people actually ordered it. Because when I asked the question how many people were going to order the fight, even after Eddie Alvarez got dropped out of the fight, it seemed like a lot of people were going to order it just by Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Just by, you know, the little bit I asked. So, I don't know, man. It could have done all right. I don't think it broke 50,000, though. I don't think so.
Dude, if it didn't break 50,000, that's pathetic, because Siam Fight Tournament, the Junior Muay Thai, did 27,000 buys.
That's a little different, though. That's international. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's still a Scottsdale, Arizona promotion.
Wow, is it really?
Dude, for real, 100%, man. They did 27,000 buys for that international junior MMA or junior Muay Thai tournament. And, obviously they had good sponsorship because the winners got a two-week trip to Tiger Muay Thai to train.
Oh, hell yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
that's a kick-ass opportunity, you know? That's a kick-ass opportunity.
Anymore, everything's international. Anymore, anybody can be international. That's the great thing about the internet, man. Once you get it on the internet, you're global.
Yeah.
So what do you guys be interested about?
Whether it's BFC, Cage Sport, Bellator, or whatever.
Yeah, I'd really like for the one tomorrow night to be streaming, but we've decided that we were just going to go back and just kind of relax on this one and focus more on the fights than anything and in the post-production.
Chris, fucking videotape that shit, edit it up, put it together on YouTube, take the 8 hours it will take to download 3.5 hours of fights. In between each fight, put your sponsor logos and all that information, and then upload the shit and share it.
So upload just one video. That's what you're saying. Just upload the whole event.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Turn it into a contest and upload each video. Because I don't know that you'll be able to upload a video that is that long to YouTube because they have policies.
No,
but
you can.
You break them into each individual fight, and then you can have a contest and, like, whoever, you know, you can see who the people want to see fight by who the videos get seen, you know, so that when the next one, you know who to put on the card.
If one fight gets seven views,
they're probably going to be fighting again.
No doubt. I know who's going to be on the next card by ticket sales. I'm going to lie. I'm like, oh, yeah? Did you turn in that many? All right. I guess you're getting
another
fight.
I'm going to take each video and put your sponsors on them, like Skippy's saying. I'll just put
them
on each video.
I agree 100%. You know what? Honestly, I love the way Muggs did it when he was down here, and I'd love to have him back again, you know, in the future. But right now, I just think we're going to focus on building ourselves and then getting the stuff ourselves to stream it ourselves. Because there's no point in just constantly having other people do it for us when we could easily do it by ourselves. It's going to take a few shows. So
Hey, Chris, I'm going to hop on your site and do some work. Got you a great interview from Adam the Show.
Do what? From who show?
Adam Martin.
Oh, okay, cool. On Tuesday, we're actually going to, on MMA Topics Live, I don't know if you guys heard this, we're going to actually have Greg Sharp from Explode Fight Series, I believe it's called, and he'll be coming on to talk about, you know, some of the lopsided matches and, you know, stuff like that, man. And I'm going to keep it 100% professional. I just want to get this guy's point of view, you know, why he had this kid fighting 0-1 guys throughout his whole, pretty much his whole pro career so far. You know, I think it's going to be a great interview. I think it's going to be pretty kick-ass to sit down with him and be able to bullshit with him.
I like it. I think right now he's obviously on the tip of a lot of people's tongues, his organization, his management company, and his fighters. Why not hop out there, grab that guy, be one of the first to interview him and talk to him?
You know what? Here's the thing, is that if you look at him as a matchmaker, as an owner of a promotion, you're like, wow, he's padding this dude's record, and he's giving this guy easy fights. But in another case, you're thinking, fuck, this dude's a pretty decent manager, you know? I mean, he's a pretty decent manager because he has his guy in the UFC now. Yeah, he hasn't fought nobody worth his shit to get to the UFC, but look where he's at. I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at that way. But, you know, obviously I think it's a shady deal. I mean, we're on the Rogue Show. I think it's a shady fucking deal, you know? But, everyone has their own story, and we've seen it in boxing, and we've seen it in fucking every sport throughout history. You know, people get, I don't know, man, it's just people get easy fights, and they get to where they're going to go. I mean, it sucks that this guy's in the UFC, and then other fighters like Andrew Whitney, who's 10-2, has been working his ass off and fought top dudes, still ain't in the UFC. That's the part that pisses me off, is that, you know, these guys could be fighting in bigger shows, but they're not. And then you get these guys that are fighting tours their whole career, you know, that don't deserve to be there, in my opinion, you know. And then they get there. I think this guy's probably going to get demolished in his first UFC fight, honestly.
Well, I can't.
And what if he comes in and just destroys somebody?
Then we're all fucking idiots.
And you know, and that obviously, and, you know, I'm not saying that dude doesn't have skills. I'm not saying that at all. But I feel like he hasn't fought the competition that he needs to be in the UFC. You guys, we talk about this all the time. When guys go to the UFC, you know, and then they're not even at that level yet. You know, we see it so fucking much.
Well, I think that, dude, we need to have a couple of these guys come up that aren't ready so that maybe these guys will realize that, you know, you're not always, you know, just because you get the call doesn't mean that you should accept it.
Well, and that's the thing is,
how many times did James Krause turn down the UFC, Chris? Three? On short notice?
What?
How many times did James Krause turn down the UFC on short notice?
He did it twice. I think he did it. He did it twice.
And look where he's fighting at anyway.
Yeah, and he's still in the UFC. You know, I mean, and in my opinion, he would be on a two fight winning streak right now. If that fight wouldn't have gone the way it did his last fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, he definitely turned down some opportunities to come to the UFC, but since he's been in the UFC, when they call him and they give him an opponent, his manager told me straight up, we say yes. We don't care who the opponent is, we say yes. Not on short notice, obviously, but, you know, with the camp, we say yes to any opponent that the UFC gives us because that's what we have to do, you know. And I love that about his manager and his management. And that's who I want to see TJ Britton go to, is James Krause's management, obviously, you know. That's who I'd like to see TJ Britton teamed up with. So.
Yeah, but see, too many fighters these days are scared to say no to the UFC, and it's a problem.
Yep.
It's
a lot of these fighters.
Amen.
But I agree with you 100%. And a lot of these fighters, though, they're not making shit. You know what I mean? So they just that little bit of extra money. It's not even that much either. That's the shitty part about these fighters. They're not smart enough to go look at the other options. They could be fighting in other companies and making more, potentially, than they can in the UFC. They just don't look at it that way. Oh, it's the UFC. Oh, my God. That shit pisses me off. I've already been talking about that today with some fighters. Like, dude, you know, that just, it's an opportunity, but really there's other places to fight too. I mean, it's not the, in my opinion, it's not the best organization.
Do you guys think that the main event at Titan pays better than, or RFA pays better than the undercard at UFC?
It depends. Honestly, you know what? That's a great question. I don't know, man.
Speaking of.
The thing is, though, maybe not that one fight, but they might get more opportunities to fight in an organization like RFA than they would in the UFC. So they might be able to fight 4, 5, 6 times a year instead of twice. You know what I'm saying there? Like, instead they could make more money that way. But for one single fight,
yeah.
I bet the undercard guys in the UFC probably make more, honestly. Or pretty close. I mean, I don't know what RFA main events are making. I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, what it is. But I know Titan, personally, I think they're probably paying, like, the first guys on the card, like, $1,500 to show and, like, $1,000 to win or something like that. I think it's something similar to that. I just took one of their fights. I mean, I didn't take it, but one of the Titans didn't happen, and I took Aaron Duro versus Ramon Barber. That's my main event for June 7th, and I paid similar to that. Let's just say that. I paid similar to what they would have got paid in Titan, if not a little more.
And they're your main event?
Yes, and that's no disrespect to Titan at all, because I asked their matchmaker if I could have this fight, and he said, oh, yeah, I mean, obviously it didn't happen. We want it to happen somewhere, so, I mean, they were real cool about it, man. I mean, I didn't step on toes to get the matchup or anything, which I'm patting myself on the back right now about.
That you know of.
No, I didn't stomp on any toes. Maybe a rusted toe.
You're a foot stomping some bitch.
I can't hear you.
He said you're a foot-stomping son of a bitch. Speaking of money, what do you guys think about the fact that some fighters, like, we'll just use Austin Springer as an example, are fighting for ticket sales only to be on Bellator? You think that's bad for the sport?
If it's your hometown, why not? But, man, Bellator's really strict on ticket sales, too, man. My buddy, and I'm not going to say his name, I'll just say that he signed a contract a week before the fight, and they expected him to sell a certain amount of tickets. He shouldn't have signed, but he ended up only getting paid $200 to find Bellator. Let's just say that.
Wow.
$200, man. Yeah, and that's legit. You know, I wouldn't come at you with any bullshit. That's what he got paid, man. And, you know, honestly, on the undercard of Bellator, I could see some guys making $5,500, but god dang, $200, get the fuck out of here. I can't even pay for my license and shit.
I don't disagree with you at all. See, that's why I think it sets a bad precedent when we get, you know, a fighter that's willing to go fight for ticket sales and not a contracted price. Gives you no leverage, and the more folks that do it, the worse it is for the, you know,
you
for
know
everybody.
The first 5 fights of their career, I think it's smart to sell tickets. I mean, if you're a ticket seller, obviously there's guys that can't sell shit where their tickets and are highly skilled out there. But there's also guys that, I can tell you right now, there was a blackout not too long ago where a pro made for his debut $1,400. Now, you're not going to make that if you can't sell tickets. I mean, let's just be honest. You're going to make 4-4 for a debut fight, or 3-3 even. I mean, that's just a fact, you know. But if you can sell $1,400 in tickets, shit, more power to you, you know. I mean, the dude made $1,400 for his pro debut, man. I mean, not too many pros can say that at all. I mean, I know somebody.
Do you pay $10 a ticket or something? Do you pay $10 a ticket?
We pay a percentage of the tickets, and that's how many he sold. I mean, I just know that's what we gave him to walk away with. And I know that tomorrow one of the guys is walking away for his
second fight with about $1,000 too. Just because he sold tickets, man. And, you know, I mean, if you're a pro, you should get, if you're selling tickets, you should get 45 to 50% of your ticket sales, honestly. And if you're not getting that, you know what I'm saying? You better get a new manager. I got to stop giving away my secrets. I'm getting, people are going to fucking start negotiating hard with me, man. They're going to be like, no, I want 75%. Shit.
Yeah, shit.
Here's what I think. I think that you should be able to cover your own ass, okay? Basically, that's what I mean. Like, I want a fighter to be able to cover his own ass. That's it. And that's all I care about is just he can sell enough tickets or at least bring in enough people, not even have to sell the tickets themselves. Just, I don't give a fuck if they buy them at the door. Just cover your own ass. Because remember, we got to pay you gas. We got to pay you travel. And I understand that that's what we're supposed to do. But at least cover your own ass. Make enough money that you fucking cover your purse. If you're a newer guy, I want to get that clear, the newer guys, you know. I mean, if you're skilled and you're a UFC vet or you're, you know, even, you know, 5-0, you should be paid a purse and a pretty decent purse.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know that just because you fought in the UFC, you should get paid more money. I think that's some baloney. You should get paid fair market value for your skill set.
I know that most of our main events in BFC, most of our main events in BFC are you're making $1,200 for your, you know, your fight, your show money, and probably the rest is, you know, I like to pay people at a flat rate, honestly. The main event in, damn it, I don't want to give away like all the info, but the main event in Fort Scott, you know, I'm paying like $1,200. These guys are getting paid flat. They're not getting paid win bonuses or nothing. I mean, they're just getting paid flat. I think that's fair because they've earned their dues, you know? They don't have to.
If you weren't going to pay them flat, what were you doing, Pate and Nate?
No.
And you just decided
I paid them 12. I paid them $1,200 and $1,200. They each get
$1,200 show?
$1,200 just to show up, dude. No win bonus.
Yeah, I know. So if they wanted to do a show and win purse, what do you think you would have paid them?
Golly, probably
less.
Probably 8-8.
Yeah, I mean that would
you
be
know?
The natural thing. You'd want. Yeah, that would be the natural
yeah.
thing because you kind of want to middle it. You want to like go to the middle to where it's kind of beneficial to everybody. Like. If you win, you get 800. If you lose, or if you win, you get 16. If you lose, you get 8. Or you can take this way, and we can go in the middle, and
yep.
you actually come out 400 ahead, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, either way. Yes, either way, you know.
Yeah.
Either way, you're coming out with a flat. And that's how boxing does it. And I don't do that with every fight. I just think it's smart when these guys have earned their dues. Plus, you got to remember, I took them from Titan, so you got to at least try to get close to what Titan was. So... And Titan definitely has more money than BFC does. I mean, just in sponsors, obviously, but they're on national TV, so a little easier. But I don't know if you guys have seen the new cage mat. I'm going to take a picture tomorrow. You guys are going to love it. Big-ass MMA topic. Yeah, big-ass MMA topic.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You got the Madhouse logo, the Topics logo in there. Clinch logo is going to be on the cage panels. Because we didn't get all the logos that we were supposed to on there, but we wanted it done. So, Clinch logo will be on there soon, probably the Carthage event. But we're working on fucking some cool shit, man. These fights coming up are going to be badass. I'm trying to make the Carthage event kick ass. A small show, small town, huge show. Love it. I'm fucking excited for tomorrow. I'm ready for tomorrow to just be here so I can
That's
watch these
fine.
Fights.
How did the Nigerian prince look?
Do what?
How did the Nigerian prince look?
Chuka looked pretty good, man. He looked great, you know. I mean, his opponent definitely looked out of it. I mean, he looked out of it. So, it's gonna be a great fight. It's gonna. That's gonna be. I'm almost excited. I'm more excited for that fight than any other fight on the card, just because of all the shit talk and hype that they've had. So I'm excited for so many fights, man.
Hey, Jeff, are you trying to jump in?
No, he's talking about something else.
Oh, okay.
His feelings were hurt.
So, Chris, if you're going to tell the fans two fights that they should really pay attention to, what two fights do you think are really going to be action-packed?
You know what? Actually, I'm going to say the heavyweight, David Hammond's 1-0, and Shane Grant, a.k.a. Kansas Savage, which trained with Grudge out in Colorado. He's 2-0. I think that's going to be a kick-ass fight, man. If it goes to the ground, maybe David Hammond's. You know, he choked out David Bowie in his last fight at BSD. If it stands up, either way, man, these guys are going to come to bang, man. Either one of these guys are just kick-ass fighters. They love fights. So it's going to be a banger, man. That's going to be a banger. And then, oh, man, there's just so many damn fights to choose from. Miles. Miles McDonald versus Tyler Stokes. To 115 guys, they're going to be freaking super exciting. I don't see either one of them knocking each other out. So it's going to be a three-round war. So it would be a kick-ass fight. I mean, the whole card stacked, man. We should have the video up within a day or two, honestly. So many fights, dude. So many fights to choose from. On the amateur side, honestly, Juca Willis versus Kelly Odnell, DeMario Cade versus Joe Estrada. DeMario Cade is the number one 115 and 125er in the country right now. I mean, as far as our rankings go as an ISCF, the sanctioning body we use, he's the number one, number two guy in the country, and dude's not a joke. So he's coming in to take on the hometown dude, Joe Estrada, for the 125 belt. So, that's going to be a kick-ass fight. I think, honestly, one of them are going to win the belt, and they'll probably both go pro pretty soon. Probably the next fight, they'll both be pro. It sucks because they're going to take the belt and then go pro, but it is what it is, you know. We don't expect these guys to stay amateur their whole career. I'd like them to defend the belt, but it is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you,
There's two female fights, too, I'm really excited for. At 115, Stephanie Hull versus Gabrielle Grimes. I hope my wife doesn't listen to this because, oh, my gosh, these two chicks are beautiful. And they are, dude, it's going to be a great fight. Gabrielle Grimes came to weigh-ins in a black dress, all classy. I mean, dude, it was real cool. And then Holly Torres versus Jessica Fletcher. Both are real green, you know, 135ers. So we'll see what happens in this fight. I can't really say who's going to win because they're both really, really new to the sport. So it's going to be a fun fight, man. Fun night all the way, dude. Like, the first fight is just, I mean, a kick-ass fight. Second fight all the way, man. We got so many fights. Eight pro fights tomorrow night. Eight pro fights. Well, honestly, that's a lot, you know. It's a lot for the Midwest, I mean, this area. There's a lot of pro fights to have on the card.
Well, I'll tell you what. Definitely get those videos up for us, you know, to see and share and help, you know, get out there. Obviously, I know they'll be over on RNS, so.
Yeah, dude, they'll be up, like, immediately, and I'll make sure they, you know, they go straight to Rear Naked Smoke. I don't even have to ask. That dude must follow me and just put stuff up immediately so fast, man. They work so hard over there at Rear Naked Smoke, for real. I followed them for years now. Years.
Dude, I love those guys, man. You know, we just had him in the studio last weekend for the Ring of Combat card, and we got fucked up. I'm not going to lie, dude. We got so fucked up, dude. He's like, I'm driving home at like 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, 5-hour driving through the country and mountains, dude. He's like, let's do it. He was all in pajamas and shit. He's like, I'm fucking, fuck it, I'm going home. That was fucking great. He is a fucking great guy to to hang out with, man. He is super fucking chill. Okay. Loves his fucking combat sports.
That's
hey,
while I'm still thinking about it right now, what do you guys think about that guy that tapped out? Have you watched the whole fight? First of all, I got to ask that.
We talked about this earlier. Lapaki's response was, "Let them shoot steroids and fight with glass on their knuckles, pussies."
Yes. Listen, I thought it was good sportsmanship. Yes, but there was no way that dude was beating that dude's ass like beating him.
Yeah, but Lapaki said he should have taken the ass whooping out of the respect for the sport.
Dude, that looked like publicity stunt to me, honestly.
I said that the guy that tapped out was kind of gutless because he took away the guy being able to lose with respect.
I don't think that guy was losing.
Yeah,
I think
I'm just saying, if this is what you think is going on, if you think you're beating this guy so bad, let him determine when the fight's over because, you know, it's his job to figure that out, not your job.
Yeah, or the referee's job. Shit.
I agree, dude. I didn't even think he was doing any damage to the guy.
He just couldn't get the takedown. You could tell that the dude was trying to go for fucking takedowns because he wanted to get it to the ground. The other dude wanted to stand it up. That was it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck? But after watching the whole fight, at first I was like, oh, this is cool, you know? You know, I'm not saying it's not respectful or anything like that. I thought it was great sportsmanship. But I would be pissed if I was fighting that dude and I was just losing a little bit and that motherfucker tapped out and made me look like a bitch. I mean, in my opinion, that would make me look like a bitch. And I'm just being serious. I'd be pissed. Yeah, even if I was getting my fucking ass kicked, I'd be pissed. Because there's always that one chance in MMA that you could come back. And if that's the case, if you think you can beat that motherfucker that easily, you do it. Or you take him down and you submit him nicely. And I've seen that happen. Honestly. In one of the shows, I seen somebody, he's like, you know what, I'm going to beat this dude if I stand up. I'm just going to kill him. Took him down and submitted him real nicely. It was so easy. It was like it was a training session for him. And I've also seen it in show fights where the dude took him down and fucking twisted his ass. And then, you know, everybody was all excited, and it was like, dude, you just twisted a guy who was, you know, you were 7-0, and he was fucking 0-15, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, and he did that to look good. But in a way, he kind of did it not to hurt the guy either, you know? I don't know. It's one of those things where it's, you, go ahead.
Oh, no, never mind.
What's up,
dog?
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
No. Don't worry about it.
Well, no, we're worried about it now. We're damn worried about it.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Actually, Lapaki, read that message thread. Can you start doing that for me instead? I don't want to do that. I love the guy's enthusiasm and everything, but I don't want to pick UFC cards. It's a great article up on MMATopics.net, folks, right now. Adam Martin, one of the writers for MMA Madhouse out of Canada, works for Pinnacle Fighting Championships. He's their media director. He wrote a great piece called Writers versus Fighters. And he's going to start doing this for every pay-per-view for MMATopics.net. And it's going to be media picks fights and then fighters pick fights. And it's like blue corner, red corner kind of thing. And you get matched up. Each member of the media gets matched up versus a fighter and, you know, see who has the better picks. So you guys can check that out. It's now up on Topics. Yeah, it's a really good you know,
I don't have my computer in this hotel room with me. It's in the other room. I have two rooms. I have a smoker's room, don't tell no one, and then I got a non-smoking room.
Hey, Chris, by the way, I want to give you some mad love, dude. The site looks really good, man. I like what you've been doing with it.
I,
honestly, I've been messing with shit, but, like, honestly, I think I need, like, an upgrade. I think I need to go to, like, the next one up or something. Like, I need to upgrade it a little bit, but I'm working on that right now, actually. So it'll probably be upgraded within. I just don't want to upgrade it, honestly. I'm like the type of person, I don't like new shit. So I don't want to upgrade it because I'm scared that it will fuck me up somehow. Hey. I'm like, no, I'm not going to upgrade it.
Let me see if I still have a copy of Revolution Church, and if I do, I'll shoot that to you, and you can just use that one for the upgrade, which was the last prototype for Madhouse.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I should have that somewhere.
I'm so ready to fucking do this show tomorrow and just be like, not on this show anymore. Like, I'm ready for this show to be over with. I'm like, I'm ready to just relax and not talk about MMA for, like, a day. Just a day. Because this show has literally gave me a fucking heart attack. For one, I'm just going to be real. For one, it's Memorial Day weekend. For two, like, our 135 champ, nobody wants to fight this kid. Nobody. I mean, people are backing out left and right. Some legit injuries, but I went through 8 opponents for Stephen Graham. Luckily, Clayton Brown last night stepped up, man. Clayton Brown, I got to give that dude so much fucking credit, so much respect, man. That dude steps up for us so much, and I give him so much shit, man. I really do, but that dude, man, I really respect him and his team. They always step up for us. So much. They're called UMMA. Dude, these fuckers step up on hours notice and shit, man. I mean, they're cool dudes, man, for any promotion. They're just, I just wanted to take time to fucking tell Clayton Brown thank you.
Well, that's cool, man. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah, man, he fucking, that dude, man, anytime you need that dude, he steps up. And he didn't even take, like, we offered this fight to him not like a while back, and he was like, nah, you know, I'm good. I don't really want to fight right now. And then last night he's like, you know what? I'll take it. I was like, hell yeah. That's fucking awesome. So it was cool, man. I'm so ready for tomorrow. we got this one, and then in 2 weeks we got June 7th. Michael Hecker will be defending his title. So I'm super stoked for that. And then Clayton
Brown. Is he defending the title at 155?
Yeah, he'll be defending the title at 155. Yes, sir. And let me tell you, man, I've been in the gym with this kid lately. There's not really too many people that are as strong as him on the ground, even the pro fighters that train with us. I mean, he is really, really getting, I mean, just so dominant on the ground. I mean, and he's powerful standing up, but his ground game, if you take him to the ground, you're in trouble. If he takes you to the ground, you're in trouble. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's just so strong. I mean, he has a tough opponent, though. And a taller opponent, too.
Hey, what's the name of the fight?
How long until Hecker's fighting at welterweight? He's going to outgrow lightweight. It's just a matter of time.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? I honestly think maybe one or two more fights. Honestly, I love the kid, man. He's my friend and everything. And I think that he's 19 years old, and he needs to live life a little bit. So I think after this, we're going to give him we're going to give him the rest of the summer just to just go do what he wants and be a kid. Yeah, be a fucking kid.
Why, man? If he wants to fight, let him fight.
No, you know, he actually asked. He's like, you know what? He's like, honestly, I'd like to take a little break, and I'm definitely down to do that for him because he's fought for us often. That kid can honestly sell out a show by himself, man. He's marketable. He's smart. He knows what he's doing, and he sells the shit. I mean, people come and see him all the time, man. All the time. It doesn't matter how often he fights, or it doesn't matter. People come to see this kid fight. Like hundreds of people. So.
Hundreds.
If you got 100 people coming to your fight, man, whew, that's a lot.
That's some rock stuff right there.
Yeah, especially in Kansas. That's the whole town.
Oh, yeah. Well, do they call them or are they villages?
I'm getting kicked out of Kansas for my comments. Oh, shit.
Hey, deep down.
They're just happy about you.
I'm here.
Hey, what were you saying a second ago?
No, I was listening. He said he couldn't find an opponent for Graham at 135 or 125?
135. Amateur.
Oh, he's amateur. All right.
Hey, by the way, if Ron Daly's listening, I know that Beatdown has a couple of 125ers that would be more than happy to step up.
Yeah.
Where you at? You're not that far from here, huh?
No.
No, man, I know a 125er, man, that has a problem finding an opponent in Biloxi. He got one here in Louisiana, too, so... I mean, they jump up and down on weight, man. I mean, I guess it's pretty, you know, I mean, you can't find nobody at 125, and they're always looking, you know. So they're fighting guys out of their class, heavy guys, man. They're fighting guys, you know, they shouldn't be fighting, you know.
I agree 100%. I actually had quite a few 125ers that are actually to fight at 115 because they're so small, like Miles McDonald and I don't know if you heard of DeMario Cade, but, you know, these guys are fighting at 120, 135 even. And they're actually, you know, legit at 115, man. It's like, dude, you're fighting so far. And that's why I do the strawweight classes, because nobody else is, like, doing that. Or, I mean, I'm not saying nobody else is doing it, but nobody else is, like, giving these guys fights at their actual weight class. They're always having to fight at 35. So hit me up for sure, man. We'll make something happen. It's not that far. Even if we could do a little trade. You know, I send a few guys down there every now and again. You send some guys up here. I'm all down for that. And I know my boss, Travis Corder at Blackout, he's all down for that, too, because we love to travel.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure we keep in touch for real, because we'll make something happen, man. I love challenging the hometown guys. So anytime I can bring any of your guys up here, man, let's make it happen.
Okay, let's do that. Now I'll inbox you their names, man. Where, I mean, there's some pretty good guys, man. And like you were saying, man, I listened to the show the other night. I was just listening to them, but and you were saying that, man, and I was like, man, that sounds, you know, familiar, you know. I mean, guy fighting at 145 when he only weighs 125 pounds, you know.
Exactly, man. It's like Miles, man. He walks around about 125, 130, and I mean, he had no problem tonight. He came in at 114, like no problem. I mean, it was, you know, he didn't even seem drained or anything. He looked fine. I mean, he probably could have went even smaller. That's what's crazy about this little dude, you know. He could probably be fighting at 110. I mean, it's nuts. I don't know how the hell somebody can get that low, man. I can pick both these dudes up with my pinky. For real. On one pinky, I can pick them both up. They're so damn small. I can't wait for tomorrow, man. It's going to be fireworks. That fight is going to be fireworks for sure. You know how the little guys are. They don't quit.
How can I watch them fights tomorrow? Shoot me one more time.
We actually, you could come to Kansas City. I got a ticket for you, son. We usually stream them, but this time we're not streaming it. I mean, it's basically to get the fans out there. But, I mean, hopefully next time we'll stream it. But the video will be up at least by Monday for sure. We're not going to take 2 weeks like last time. We're going to get this stuff up. Last time it was like 2 weeks, and I was like, man, this is crazy. All this should be already on Inside MMA. all these videos.
What? All right, let me know. I mean, I'll look for it. I'll be looking for it. You said by Monday, right?
Do what?
You said by Monday. I'll be looking for it to see it Monday, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'll actually, you know, I'll tag you in all the posts, man, of the fights that finished for sure. I won't tag you in no boring fights, but there shouldn't be one boring fight on this card. The way it's matched, honestly, every fight should be exciting. I don't see any one-rounders. I see them all going at least in the
Shameless self-promotion right now.
That's right, baby. I pride myself on my matchmaking, man. I really do. I don't try to get anybody's ass whooped. I don't throw anybody in there for turd fights. I like every – and if they are a turd, I put them against a turd. That's how I do it. If you're a turd, you're fighting a turd.
The turd bowl.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit in that ring.
Now, Chris, let me ask you, How did you like commentating for show fights, brother?
I thought it was cool, man. You know, it's definitely a long drive. That's the only part I could really bitch about. But, yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It was nice to go down to the – it was brawling. It wasn't show fight, but same thing pretty much. Yeah, it was fun. I got to watch a lot of guys that fight on BSC also, you know. So it was real cool, man. It was real cool to go down there. It's been a long time since I was in Branson. So, yeah, I mean, it was one of those cards where a lot of these guys are just street fighters and, you know, dudes out of the street that just like to bang. That's pretty much what it was all about, and I liked it, you know. I mean, I thought some of the fights were good. The heavyweights I thought were one of the better fights, actually. They threw down for like three rounds. One of them actually elbowed the other dude and got a point taken away, but, it was a great fight. And then William Levine's fight versus Jamie Bacon, that was a real good fight. He just kept hitting that dude and hitting him, and that dude's face was just fucked up. Jamie's face was fucked up, and he just kept coming forward, man. That dude had no quit in him. It was all heart. He was definitely one of those tough dudes, you know.
Hey, speaking of coming up, don't forget M1 Challenge 48 tomorrow. Fight Nights, also from Russia. You got Bruce Richards, Madhouse fighter. This amateur fighter, 76-16. He's going to be turning pro finally. He's been fighting amateur since 80. He's been fighting amateur since 87. He's a beast.
No, shut up. Wait, everyone stop what you're doing. Say that again. Say that record one more time for the fans.
I was joking. I was over-exaggerating. He's like 36 and 15 or 36 and 16. Or...
I don't care. I'm still fucking what? That's just like, damn. That's a grip, dude. That's a lot of fights, man. That's a lot of amateur fights. It really is.
It is.
Shit. There's five people in this room, and we're all like, damn, really? Everybody's thinking, damn, that's a lot of fucking fights. That's fucked up.
Dude,
he's making his pro debut, is that what you said, Skip?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a guess. Yeah, it's long overdue, man. That dude's fighting every weekend, man, really. That dude probably fights more than you're allowed to fight. Be like, hey, you got to cut back on the fights, bro. You're fighting way too often.
Impossible.
How does that work in Oregon? Are you allowed to fight, like, every weekend? How does that work?
7 days, unless you get, you know, whatever. Minimum 7 days, though, every fight.
So you can fight on Saturday at, like, 6
Friday
o'clock?
Friday and
then
the
can
following
in...
Saturday. You would fight
no, you
Friday.
You can't fight till the following Sunday. You got to fight. If you wanted to fight back-to-back weekends, you'd have to fight Friday and then the following Saturday.
Not here.
Oh, okay. They do it a little different here. They're like... They do it like, yeah, you could do it 7 days later. You could be on the card, but you got to be later in the card. It's real stupid. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to fight at like 9 o'clock instead. It's real weird. We've had to deal with that once or twice.
That's too hard to figure out.
6 days here.
Yeah, it's weird.
Skippy, what event are you watching in the morning?
Well, I got to fucking work now, so... I have to actually go work a whole shift tomorrow, and I got a 40 top at like 10 o'clock in the morning, so.
That's a good thing. At least you know you'll hit some.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'll make some money and all that, but, I mean, I shouldn't be working, so my day got screwed. So I don't know exactly. I'm going to try to put M1 on at work and watch it while I'm cooking, but who knows.
He said, I got to work on my day off.
Dude, I can do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I probably spend 40 hours a week doing MMA, and I spend another 40 at work, you know. And Sundays and Saturdays are like a little bit of time I get with my family, do yard work, stuff, catch up on the house, all that crap that you got to do. And it just kicks me in the nuts when I have to work. It really screws me. Hey, by the way, Jeff, it's fixed. I just got to reposition it.
Ooh, that sounded funny. Sorry, this is a rogue show. I was being a little nutty tonight.
Okay, Jeff. There, go take a look now. see what you think. But, yeah, so I'm going to try to watch the M1 tomorrow on the tablet while I'm cooking. I'll just set it up. Throw on the – I got those little Bose egg speakers. Throw that up, jam it out. But I know tomorrow I definitely want to see M1 because it's the Battle of Nomads. It's a good card. But, I mean, there's so much going on tomorrow. I'm going to be catching the Pinnacle Fighting Championships. What? Hold on. Is it?
Uh-oh.
I get so confused. Okay. It is Pinnacle Fighting Championships Pittsburgh Challenge Series 7. God, that's a lot to say for an event. Can't you just be like PFC 7? I'm going to watch that card tomorrow night. I'm super excited. It's a, I think it's, what, 6 pros and 6 amateurs, if I'm not mistaken. That's going down tomorrow, but we got ZSD.
We're going to need Ziploc bags.
Yeah. Dude, Deep, that's going down tomorrow. Pennsylvania Cage Fights is going down tomorrow. ZST 41 is going down tomorrow. Pro Fighting 9 is going down tomorrow. And I love this name of this league. I believe it's out of San Pablo. No, it's out of Monte Carlos. Watch Out Combat Show 34 going down. Ring Girls Extraordinaire. You guys know how they do it in Brazil. Booty, booty, booty. Dude, this chick could be the ugliest chick and have, like, nothing that you would want to look at from the neck up. But she can have a booty that goes for days, and they're like, ring card, girl.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but, like, even XFC International, like, every ring girl down there, it's like every event, the leather that covers their ass gets smaller by 5%. Soon they're going to be just wearing a thong. And I just watched an event with topless with body paint on. And I was like, dude, now you guys are getting crazy on the ring girls.
Dude, you know you saw that one I shared of that Black Gold Productions, man. It looked like they were straight up stripping on the cage. It was like, dude, are you serious? Are you serious right now? They were like, they were twerking against the cage, bro. Twerking.
Look, I'm asking right now, for the fans, the masses and masses around the world, we need that organization to team up with Driller, give them a fifth of whiskey, and let the girls strip, and let's do an MMA event. That could be an all-time classic stream.
Are we fucking getting into lingerie fighting championships now? I mean,
no.
The fuck on.
they sent me a press release, and I sent them back. I said, I refuse to support you in any way. And they're like, dude, we're promoting real athletes. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're promoting a girl.
Dude,
who plays
I saw their fight. It wasn't even a fight. It was, like, weird. It was like, are you fucking serious? This is the most fucking choreographed shit I've ever seen. Besides T. Ortiz versus Alexander Smolenko. Sorry. I'm sorry, masses. I'm sorry, world. I did not mean that about the legend, T. Ortiz.
Tito Ortiz. Did you notice that his girlfriend was another porn star?
No, I don't really notice shit like that. Like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I noticed that Jenna Jameson was talking to Grip and shit. But of course he's gonna talk shit. Also,
dude,
I
heard
to make a living with Suck Dick.
Look, I heard, and I don't know if it's true, and please, Jesus, let it be true, but I heard she was gonna make a porn with an actor like Tito, to play Tito, and I would just laugh if she actually did it.
She should make a porn with Flamenco. Well, she should make a porn with Flamenco or like a ex-UFC fighter that beat the hell out of Tito Ortiz. That would piss him off, dude. I'm sorry, dude. I'm just on one tonight.
Dude, wouldn't that be so funny? Like, dude, have Tito sitting there in the corner being some chook. That would be hilarious. And, like, maybe Alpha Male running a train on her. Well, never mind. We've already heard that story, huh?
You get two different, you know, different kind of people watching it. You get the midgets, you know, with the Alpha Male guys. You get the people that like watching midgets fuck.
And then you got to add steroids and all this, like, Tito should be doing steroids through the whole video. That would make it better.
So
and
like,
then King Mo could come in and body slam him.
All right, I'm going to leave King Mo out of the conversation so I don't get slapped next time.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You don't want to lose your job as his chauffeur.
Damn, that's fucked up.
I'm sorry. Is it the truth hurt? Your boy got
actually, you know what? King Mo actually owes me 50 anytime push-ups, so I'm going to text him right now. I'm telling him you owe me 50 anytime push-ups right now, pussy.
Okay, now let me ask you, did it not look like he was trying to go out for the role of Popeye after the fight with, like, one eye squinched down? I was waiting for a punch to go in his mouth and him to go, oh, my new role is Popeye, you know,
honestly,
he's Popeye.
He really, his last few fights, he really has looked real rough, man, but he really didn't look bad. I mean, really, except for he only got hit a few times, and the one time he did get hit, his eye got fucking swole shut. That just shows how hard Rampage's fucking fists are, man. Jesus Christ. So I don't know if you guys talked about it. Is Dan Anderson going to knock fucking Daniel Cormier out tomorrow night or what?
No.
I guess not. I guess that's a no? Okay. Where did Skippy go?
I'm right here talking to Stacey Lynn. Sorry.
Henderson's going to knock him out.
Dan Henderson is not only going to knock him out, but after he knocks him out, when in the press conference, Henderson's going to knock him out again for fun.
I hit you with the right. I don't know, man. I actually think that's one of the best fights other than James Krause versus Jamie Varner on that whole card. I think Krause versus Barner is going to be in a fucking amazing fight, and I think that Krause is going to come home with another win. He's going to bring the win back to Kansas City. And I'm not going to watch it at BFC, unfortunately. I wish I could, but not going to be able to watch.
What happened to Liz Tracy? Is she sick or she get injured?
No, there's nothing wrong with her. Why?
So why are they doing a potluck fundraiser?
For her travel money. She needs the money to travel.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure it out. I didn't know. I thought maybe she was injured or something. They were trying to get
her.
Hey, and by the way, you see that picture? It's fixed. I told you.
Well, was it fixed?
Yes, it is. It's on my computer. I'm looking at it right now.
When I look,
it's there. You got buy on apparel, and then you've got BFC 22.
It's been fixed for months. It just fucking keeps going back to that logo. I swear to God, I don't know why. I fixed it three times in the last 2 weeks.
Hey, I just put a new code in for his logo, so it shouldn't go away anymore.
Well, it's not here now.
Dude, I'm looking right at it. You're underneath the BFC.
Too.
Well, then I don't know what to tell you. Take the helmet off.
I'm telling you. He's been bitching at me about this damn logo for about a month now.
Dude,
I'm fixing
okay.
it every time.
Sherry, hey, I know you're listening. I don't know if you are near a computer, but if you can, go to MMATopics.net. Or anybody listening, go to MMATopics.net and tell me if you see a gold Clinch Custom Mouth Guard logo on the right-hand side, because I see it plain as day. I mean, and I'm high on drugs, so if I see it.
That's why you see it,
because
you got to be high to see it. But then why can't I see it?
I'm going to tell you right now, I do not partake in any of the things the guys on the Rogue Show do. I partake in the things I do, but not the things they do.
Yeah, because you go to jail. You don't live in Washington. It's a beautiful Washington.
Oh, hey, I've only got 90 seconds. Hold on.
Bottoms Up!
Cheers!
Bottoms Up is more than just a great idea. It's a brand new bar and grill. In fact, it's the only true Western-themed saloon in Redmond. The Old West meets the New West at Bottoms Up Saloon. With a rustic atmosphere inside, comfy outdoor seating, a fire pit, and a build-your-own Bloody Mary bar on Sundays. The Bottoms Up Saloon serves up tasty local products with great daily lunch specials, happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and a dinner menu that will satisfy the hungriest of cowboys. Like Bottoms Up Saloon on Facebook to keep up with live music events and all the happenings. Bottoms Up Saloon, south of Walmart, on 97 Redmond.
Okay, I just had to play that. We got like 25 seconds left. Thank you, Beatdown. Thank you, Clinch, Lepaki, everybody. Eagle!
The episode.